want your eyes. Amen? This is Acts chapter 3, and I titled this subtitle as From Begging to Receiving. From Begging to Receiving. The book of Acts, folks, is the book of action. Now, the book of Acts should have a warning label on it. And this is the warning it should say. Caution, read at your own risk. Read only if you know the Holy Spirit, because he will do the same acts through you. Can I hear a big fat amen?
Amen.
Now, hear me. Jesus Christ promised the disciples that after the Holy Spirit came upon them, that the Holy Spirit would empower them to do some really crazy things. Amen? And the book of Acts reveals, hear me now, come on. The book of Acts reveals how the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the driving force behind all meaningful ministries in Jesus' name. Now, when somebody gets healed in the name of Jesus, who is the driving force behind that healing? The Holy Spirit is. Amen? Now, where do we look today? Where do we look today for spiritual power? Well, some kids look for it in drugs. Some people look for it in alcohol. Unfortunately, once these things get in your system, you develop a taste for them. Amen? That's why some kids are in trouble today, because they have introduced drugs and things that they have developed a taste for. However, if you get a taste for the Holy Spirit, he also will invade your life. Amen? And you will become intoxicated with the Holy Spirit. How many people know that for sure? It really, really, really is true. Amen? Come on, yeah. Now, we do not look for spiritual power today in reading books. Some people do, but we don't. You don't look for spiritual power in your religious heritage. My mother was a Christian. My mother's mother was a Christian. You don't get it from there either. We gain spiritual power by a surrendered life to the Holy Spirit, right, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Now, the scripture says it's not by might nor by
power,
but by my
Spirit.
Now, you may have big fat muscles, and you may have 1,000 scriptures memorized. You may have attended church all your life and given lots of money to the church. You might be a deacon, you might be a pastor, but that is not where spiritual power comes from. Spiritual power comes from a surrendered life. When one surrender his or her power for the Spirit of God's power. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? He says, I will use the foolish things of this world to confound who? The wise guys. I like to say wise guys. Now, this book of Acts we're about to read here, calls us then to a Spirit-led life. That's why we call this church Spirit Life. Amen? The book of Acts forges for you a brand new identity. Now, you may not know what I mean by that. How many don't know what I mean by that? You want me to explain it to you? Okay. In our own power, in our own education, in our name, in our muscles, in our might, in our money, in all the things we can do, we have forged for ourselves an identity. Somebody says, who are you? I say, my name is Mike. And let me tell you all about all that I have done and all that I can do. That's one identity. When you became born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you lost all of that.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
It is no longer what I can do, but what Christ can do, right, through me. So the book of Acts shows you how the early church forged ahead and gained a brand new identity. And the author And the finisher of your new identity is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let me just explain it a little further. When the Jews got saved, chapter 2, 3,000 of them, right? 3,000 got saved after Peter preached his sermon. Amen? Come on, stay with me. So, here's another point I can make. When the Jews got saved after Peter preached that sermon, they realized they were no longer Jews, but now they were part of the church. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I'm not saying that they were no longer Jews in terms of their heritage, right? In other words, they were born into that lineage. But in the terms of the spirit realm, when you got born again, how many people can remember you lost it all? You had to give it all to Christ, and you gained a brand new identity, and you began to slowly understand now that now you were part of a community of fruitcakes. Amen? Amen. The fruitcakes that you couldn't stand being around. Those tongue-talking fruitcakes.
Holy rollers.
Holy rollers. And when you met the Holy Spirit, you became like one of them.
Amen.
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 You should have seen me. I told you last week before I was saved, I gave it to my roommate. Don't you ever tell me that I need to say that I'm born. Get out of here. And then I met the Holy Spirit, and I became one of those same obnoxious, annoying people. Amen? Did I make myself perfectly clear? Well, welcome to the family of the fruitcakes. Amen? We now have a new identity, right? It's no longer everything I can do on my own strength. It's what we do, amen? We do as a family, or we call it the body of Christ, amen? How about one more amen? Make me happy. Now, in Acts chapter 2, don't go there, but in Acts chapter 2, we did that last week, Luke gives us a summary in Acts chapter 2, and we read there Peter's very first sermon ever preached. And if you look, just take a look back at Acts 2:43, just to give you sort of wet your whistle here, amen? Take a look at Luke 2:43, just backwards, just a few verses. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 43, it says, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." Amen? Now let's stop for a minute. Remember, there was 3,000 Jews that got saved. They became fruitcakes. 3,000 of them. Amen? But it says there, and fear came upon them, right? Fear came upon them. So let's just backtrack. What did they see that caused them to bring fear? Well, first of all, Peter convicted their hearts so much. And remember, their hearts were pricked from conviction? Remember, I spoke about that last week? And so their hearts were pricked, and they got convicted that, in fact, this was the Jesus whom they crucified. And the Bible says, and fear came upon them, and, come on, read it again, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Now, look at me. We have no record of all the signs and wonders that the apostles did from Acts chapter 3 and before, but I'm sure there were. Amen? And now this next story is very important to me because in November 14th of 2006, I had the privilege of visiting the location in Israel where this miracle took place. In fact, I was there, and in my Bible, I wrote, circled it, and wrote right there, "I was here, praise God, 11/14/2006. I was at the exact location where this miracle took place. And it was glorious to be there and glorious to be part of that. And it was even more glorious to see how the Holy Spirit worked through me in signs and wonders. Amen. And I'm sure I've told you all about the incredible miracles and stories that took place while I was out there. So the same signs and the same wonders that took place thousands of years ago is still taking place. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Luke wrote the book of Acts. And Luke has selected, hear me now, Luke has selected for you tonight a miracle of choice. He selected in Acts chapter 3 a very significant miracle. So, because we know there were many, many more miracles, and he selected this miracle, it's important that you pay attention. Amen? All right, now, fast forward, Acts chapter 3, and verse number 1, and you ready to read? We got it up there, here we go. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Amen? 3 o'clock. So let me just set this up. They are on their way to temple, or they're on their way to church. Remember, you know, these are born, he's born again. Peter's born again. Remember Peter, the guy who denied the Lord 3 times? So anyway, this same Peter and John were headed to church. They're headed to church. And you got to remember, Peter and John lived in that community all their life, and they're walking by the same old beggar, lame beggar, who's holding out a cup for money. Now remember, they had seen this guy years and years. This guy being there was no surprise. So Peter and John went up to the temple. It was 3 o'clock. They were about to walk into the temple, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb, verse 2, was carried. They carried this beggar, and they placed him at this location. As his job, his full-time job was begging for money. They have, and this man was dropped off at this location like he had been years and years and years and years. And he laid there with a cup in his hand and began to beg. And everyone that passed by him, they would say, "Sir, ma'am, sir." And when they laid him at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, see the word alms? Yep. That word alms actually means handouts. And of them that entered the temple. So you got a picture, if there was somebody sitting outside our church tonight, outside the door, then the person held out a cup every time somebody walked into Spirit Life, he held out a cup and people dropped a quarter and a nickel and a dollar, whatever they dropped in. Now, hundreds and hundreds of Jews walked by this lame man that particular day on their way to the temple and pray. But this day would be a different day. This day was a day that would change the lives of the followers of Jesus Christ and be so important that it was written in the Word of God 2,010 years later for you to read. All right, verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking for, I'm begging, "Sir, sir, sir." Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking for alms or begging, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, and what did he tell him? That word "look on us" is in Greek the word blepo. Blepo. B-L-E-P-O. Blepo. What that says is not what it says here in English translation. All right, so they're walking into the temple. Amen? This guy, everybody knew this guy. He'd been there forever holding out the cup. Peter and John are born again. And they walk by this man, and the man holds up the cup and says, "Money, food, help." And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, and the word says, and in their heart they discerned. They looked at him, and in their heart spoke to them, him. Come on, in verse 5, and he gave heed unto them. He looked up at them. He gave heed. He paid attention to them. The beggar was getting ready to receive a handout. He was expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6, then Peter said, come on, read it with me, "Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. In the healing ministry, he says, silver and gold. In other words, quarters and nickels and dimes and dollar bills, I can't give you. But such as I have, what did he have? What did Peter have? So let me just explain something to you. You cannot give to someone something you don't have. In order to give someone that precious gift of the Spirit, he's got to be here. Amen? Amen. So let's just digress. Peter walked by and said, I don't have money to give you. I don't have houses. I'm not going to put any money in your tin can. But what I have, I'm going to give it to you. And what he does is the singular most important step you can take in the healing ministry. And you say, get up. Now, that is a very challenging thing for a lot of people to do. Because we're more prone to say, well, when I get a chance, I'll light a candle for you. Really, really, most people are. And really what they're doing is saying, I don't have anything to give you because I don't have it in me. And so what Peter was saying to this guy at the gate beautiful, he said, a miracle is about to happen. Now, I just got to make sure you get this. I just got to make sure that you absorb this. When you say a miracle is about to happen, when you say to somebody you need to expect God to do wonderful things, when you say those words like over our door there, what does it say above that door? Expect a miracle. That's why there's so many miracles in this church. Because we say, you must, if you come to this church, expect a miracle. And then God, through his love and through the honor of his word, he grants it. Amen? I said amen. Amen. Verse 7. Stay with me now. The guy was sitting there. He's been there all his life. How many people walked by him and just threw money in the can? Threw money in the can, right? So just pick it. Hundreds of people just clink, 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 year after year after year after year after year after year. And then all of a sudden, this born-again fruitcake, Peter, who just converted 3,000 Jews to the Lord. He's in the line. He's walking along, clink, clink. And he stops and the guy goes, sir. And he says, looks at me, he says, look, let me tell you something, buddy. I don't have any money to give you, and this money's not going to heal you. This money's not going to do nothing for you. But what I have in me, I give to you, and in the name of Jesus, and walk. Yeah. Do you see the difference? In order to witness miracles, you have to change the atmosphere from begging to receiving. Did you get that? Oh, Lord, this is my 18th year praying for the same. Oh, Lord, you. Lord, our Father who art in heaven, O Lord, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. Praise Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Oh, Lord. Oh, if I have to suffer like this, Lord, that's okay, Lord, but I just pray. Oh, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. That's begging. So, in order to receive, listen to me now, in order to receive a miracle, you must change the atmosphere from begging to receiving. Do you understand that? Faith changes the air in the room. Remember John, Dolores John? Her husband was suffered a paralyzed, he was paralyzed on his left side. I drove to Tampa, and the story was that her husband was paralyzed on the left side. And he was paralyzed because when they were performing surgery, they accidentally snipped a nerve somewhere in his body, and he was paralyzed. Who else went with me? Did you go? We all hopped in the car, and we went over there. And Dolores says to me, she says, go over there and let him know that you're here. So I walked over to John's side. I mean, we all did. We all went there, and he knew it. I walked over to John's side, and I said, hey, John, in the name of Jesus, give me a hug. And he reaches with his good arm. I said, no, not with that arm. Hug me with that arm. And as God is our witness, he lifted that paralyzed left arm and wrapped it around me and gave me a hug. And that was it, right, Dolores, for that? That was it. See, instead of saying, John, when I get a chance, we will light a candle for you and the intercessories will pray for you. We changed the atmosphere, huh, from begging, amen, to, do you got the picture? Say this after me. Come on, I want you to repeat it. Say the confession.
The confession.
The
confession.
Of God's word.
Creates.
An atmosphere
of miracles.
Did you catch that?
Yes.
When you believe, church, when you in your heart believe this word to be true, the power becomes available to you in your spirit. Now, let me just tell you something so you understand. The mouth speaks what the heart believes. Jesus said, from the abundance of what's in your heart, what is it? The mouth speaks. You cannot walk up to somebody like Peter did at the Gate Beautiful and say, silver and gold have I not. Such as I have, I give to thee in the name of Jesus. All I'm telling you, sir, all I know, sir, is he's going to do the same for you right now that he's done for me. If you don't know that experience, I don't blame you for not saying it to anybody. Amen?
Amen?
All right. I want you to take a look at Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, 17. Are you there? All right, come on, read it with me. And these signs shall follow them that
believe.
Now, the word believe, say believe.
Believe.
That's really not the word. Take it from me. I mean, I went into the Greek and okay, the word is pisteo. Pisteo. Say pisteo.
Pisteo.
I mean, come on, say it with a little bit more class. Pisteo. Okay.
Pisteo.
P-I-S-T-E-U-O with a line over it. That word pisteo means to be persuaded. I mean, we love King James. Amen? But, you know, if he had wrote all the words that he had to write, the Bible would be like this thick and we wouldn't be able to carry it to church. Amen? And these signs shall follow them that, come on. Do it again. And these signs shall follow them that... Are you pisteo about Jesus Christ? Really, are you pisteo about him? It sounds like a dirty word, doesn't it? But that's what they said. That's how they talk. Pisteo. All right. All right, so if you are persuaded... Amen?
Yes.
Then he says, in my, whose name?
Jesus.
What does that mean, in my name?
Jesus.
He says, I'm going to give you a blank check. I'm going to give you a blank check. Anybody like to have a blank check for me? And I say, whatever you want. My name is on that check. I will sign it for you. Write on that check any amount that you want, because this is in my name. Without my check, you have nothing. Right? Take this check and do with it what you wish, as much as you wish. He says, in my name, I'm going to give you a blank check. In my name. My signature is on the check, and you will what? You will cast out? Yeah. And those that believe in my name shall speak with? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next verse. Now we're getting even more fruitier by the moment, amen? So we're told that us fruitcakes are not only going to cast out demons, but now we're going to speak yabba dabba doo language, amen? Right? Those are the people we stayed away from. And they shall take up serpents. Now, doesn't mean go out and buy a rattlesnake and step on it and believe that God's going to heal you from the snake bite, amen? And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Oh, I love this part. Come on. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall
recover.
Why? Because I
pisteo.
I pisteo. Go back to Acts. And we're almost done, see? Are you back at Acts chapter 3? All right, so here I was. Here I was in Israel, standing on this spot, right? And my tour group left me. They walked away. And I was standing on the very spot. And I says, oh, Lord. And the Lord says, write the date in your Bible. So I did. See, it's right there. I was here. And I wrote that in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit says to me, the same miracles that happened here on this spot will happen everywhere your feet shall tread. Because I am not confined to a spot. I now live in people. And I stood there, and I'll tell you, the anointing of God just so touched me, you know? Because just a few days before that, that young man at the Dead Sea, a few days before that at the Dead Sea, that young man was covered in boils all over his body. And just before everybody else hopped on the tour bus at the Dead Sea to go home, the Holy Spirit says, turn around and go pray for that young boy. He was covered in boils all over his body from head to toe. I was walking into the showers to wipe all that salt off, and he says, turn around and go pray for that boy. I said, what if? He goes, no, what if? I prayed for that boy, and instantly those spots, my son was there to witness it, instantly those spots began to disappear all over his body. Instantly, church, instantly. I hopped on that tour bus. And little did I know, but a few hours later, they just so happened, the young boy and his mother happened to be sitting at the restaurant across from me. It says here in verse 7, and Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles and bones received strength. So he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered the temple. Leaping and walking and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising. Peter changed the atmosphere that had been existent at the Gate Beautiful all his life from an atmosphere of begging, sir, could you spare a dime? To silver and gold have I not, but such as I have I give to thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and be healed. Close your Bibles. Amen.